All right, so let's continue with Revelations chapter 3. We last Sabbath we read from verse 1 through 6 concerning the congregation in Sardis. And as we have and I'm not going to say too much, but as we said, it was very similar. They were in a way similar to the congregation of Ephesus. It's an example of how truly Elohim is not a respecter of persons. They were in a similar situation, not exactly, but similar. So they had some good works, but they had some false doctrine. Let's see. Wake up and strengthen the things. It's verse 2 says, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. This is the church of Sardis. Sorry, the congregation of Sardis. No, but you are dead. They have a reputation of being alive, but they are dead. And this is very important for us. Something as after I taught last Sabbath, I was meditating, it came to my mind. Today we see a lot of so-called churches of various names, and some of them are big. One of the biggest congregate religious groups in the world, won't name names, you probably know. When you ask a person what's a Christian, a person who doesn't know, especially, they'll say, oh, this particular religious organization represents Christianity. It has a reputation, doesn't it? Now, I'm not saying the congregation of Sardis, that this particular quote-unquote church, I'll use that word on purpose, church that existed, very large church, probably the largest church group in the world that's supposed to be Christian, that exists, is the same congregation in Sardis. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying, it has the same reputation. I know your works. You have the verse 1, the last portion. He says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive. A reputation is not the honor, but it's what some people, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So, what's Elohim's perspective? You are dead. Did he say to them, oh, I'm going to throw you away. You're not my congregation because you have a false doctrine. All these congregations had issues. So that's why it's not for us to decide so much who is a congregation. I'm not going to, in other words, that's not what I'm going to do here. But we have to understand that all who call upon the name of Yeshua, all who use the Bible, have the potential of being saved. You see, for he says, you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, he says, and strengthen what remains that is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my Elohim. This is the risen Yeshua speaking, and he speaks of my Elohim, again, in his prayer, Father, that you may know the only true Elohim, you, Father, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua whom you have sent. So even here in his resurrected form, he says, my Elohim, showing that the Father truly is greater than he, because the Father is the only one who truly is eternal, having no beginning and no end. Messiah, his son, was brought forth. His son was his first word. But I'm not going to go into that because I've touched on that before. But Messiah was his first word, not created, as some would say. No, that's blasphemous. Messiah was not created. His son was not created. His son was brought forth. There's nothing of Elohim that comes directly from Elohim that is created. Nothing. The things that are created are the things that the Father made through his son and his spirit. The heavens and the earth, the angels and all, and mankind and all the host of them, all these are created things. They came through his son. But but what comes directly from Elohim can never be created. They're of him and belong to him. He sends them forth and they return to him. His spirit goes, the spirit returns to him. He sends his word and his word will not return without a void. His word is going to return to him. His word is everlasting, can never, never perish. So the point, going back to the congregation here, the status. So that's why I say to you, We need to be careful about what people after first century teachers are teaching. They overemphasize religious groups about being certain things that they're really not. We gotta stick, when you look at the first century teachings, you'll see they don't agree with a lot of popular teachings that exist today. But that's for you to go to the ancient past to find out what those teachings were. I can't do that today. But I'm just saying that to you so you could go and prove all things. So here we have a congregation that's dead, that has a reputation of being alive. Can't we think of a congregation that's dead but has a reputation of being alive? What's really, when you think about it, you have all these congregations that Yeshua was still working with. He did not abandon them despite their many faults. But we, being led to believe by false, by teachers that are overly doing something, that don't understand, that are mixing up the scriptures, especially in prophetic writing, they overemphasize certain religious groups and they don't understand that's not really what the scripture is saying. Yes, the groups have a part in it, but the groups themselves can be saved if they repent. Yes, they can. They can repent. Just like Israel, it was spoken of, oh, they shall pursue the vision in the book of Daniel. The vision of the beast, the beast's own vision, they were pursued, but it shall fail, they said. But was Israel rejected completely? No. Elohim would find ways to, would had in his project the means of saving them. So all who call upon on the name truly can be saved. So there are people in every single group out there, brethren, that can be saved. I was from a group, from a church that you can say is dead, but thanks to Elohim, he has saved me. And if you think about your own lives, you can say the same. So let's not think, let's be very careful how we think about other groups. Our job is to be a light. We don't bring ourselves into the mud that the groups, some groups have put, that the devil has put some groups in. We stand on the rock, higher rock that Elohim has allowed us to be, to pull others up wherever they may be on that higher rock. And when Elohim pulls us up higher, we pull still higher. Or if Elohim pulls the other person, we pull and puts them higher, they'll pull us higher. Because the gift is from Elohim, not from us. So we see a dead congregation. He says, wake up and strengthen. Remember then, this is what was similar with the church of Ephesus. They had a great fall. Remember then what you receive and heard. Keep it and repent. Keep it and repent. Similar. So remember what you receive. Go back. Similar to what it says in Ephesus. Go back to your first love. Remember what you received. What is that reception? It's that first faith, that first love. That's why I don't want to put that to any specific thing as other later teachers might be trying to pinpoint it to one specific thing. This is telling us, remember the time I gave you faith? Remember the time that you had that peace, that joy, that strength, that love that you never had before, that came from above, that could come from nothing but me. Remember that? Go back to that. And then continue your walk in that love, in that faith. Then you will see clearly. Then you will be able to see clearly. But when we start going in our flesh, we start being deceived by Satan to look at symptoms in the world of problems, and we devote so much of our energies and time to a symptom and not the core issues, we will be derailed from our walk. And we'll ask, what's going on? Why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I confused? It's because we've gained knowledge, and now we've jumped into knowledge, trying to live by knowledge instead of faith and the grace of Elohim. We are to take that knowledge that we have and bring and make sure it stays in that first love, in that first faith that we have, then we will use that knowledge correctly. The moment we jump into that knowledge alone, oh, we're so excited about the knowledge. Don't be deceived. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can railroad you if you're not careful to stay in His grace, in His love. Because His knowledge can puff up. And that's where many people get troubled in their walk. They learn, we can learn something, and all of a sudden, we let our flesh, not intentionally, but Satan is crafty. He'll use everything outside of faith and love. Remember, anything outside of faith and love can be a problem. So everything you receive, keep it in what? Faith and love. You'll be okay. We'll be okay. So remember then what you received and heard and keep it and repent. Turn back. What did I receive? I received that faith. I received that love. Let me keep it. Let me return to it. What have I just learned? Let me let all of that be filtered through that love, through that faith, so I will not be deceived by my own mind. Because what happens is our fleshy mind can distort things. I've seen, like I've said before, people who were living simple lives. Then for some reason, they learned they were of a certain heritage. Right? And all of a sudden, they're like in their flesh now. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm Hebraic, or I am of whatever descent. And all of a sudden, they're puffed up in their minds. They're so elated, knowing, well, I didn't know that about me. I didn't know that. What about you? Since when will flesh and blood inherit the kingdom? It's about the love and grace of Elohim. So that's why we have to be very careful, brethren, as we look at these letters, so we know how to deal with people who are seeking to serve Elohim in spirit and truth. People who may be worshiping, bowing down to idols, but have a great love for Elohim, but are just misguided, are being misled because they're so faithful. They're faithful to authority that they're afraid to question what they're doing. We need to pray for them. Okay, not look down at them. You know, calling them, you're going to hell with your idols and all that. Yes, it's truth. It's a fact that it can. But rather than that, let's speak to them the word of grace. Remember how Peter said, brethren. But they were the ones who just killed his beloved master. But he calls them brethren. So what are the people today doing that's worse than that? Okay, they're idol worshippers. That's why I've been in my heart to pray for those that are suffering on account of their idolatry. Okay, let me try to move on. So that's one of the key points. I'll do one a little bit from verse 7, and I'll stop because it's already almost 1:40. So those are some key things to get from the congregation of Sardis. And he says to them in verse 6, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If what? If they repent. Is Elohim a respecter of persons? What congregation is dead today? See, we got to look at the root of these things. This particular large congregation was once a true congregation. It wasn't a false one. It was once a true one, and it became false. There were some things that were never of Elohim. They were just demonic from their inception. That organization, we shouldn't even think about it. But we could still pray for the people. But as an organization, no. But those things that began from Elohim, all we need to do is look, this organization, was it once a true organization? Was it once a true organization? Then let's pray for it. And if not, pray for its members. We need to pray for all people and work to help all people receive salvation. Let's do a little bit of the congregation of Philadelphia, and I'll stop. So verse 7 in Revelation chapter 3 says, and to the angel, again, that's to the leader of the congregation of Philippi, I'm sorry, Philadelphia, write the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David. Whoa, didn't we just read something like this in Acts chapter 3? What did Peter says? Right? Didn't Peter say something like that in Acts chapter 3? I believe he did. The Holy One and Righteous One. Right? He said something similar in Acts chapter 3. And here in Revelation chapter 3, we see the similar identification. To the angel of the congregation of Philadelphia, write the words of the Holy One, or the Righteous One, the set apart one, the true one, who has the key of David. Let me quickly turn to Isaiah for a minute, and I'll stop with this one, because I want to make sure we have enough time to pray. So Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22. I'm cutting into the context. I will clothe him. Let's see. For the context here. Okay, this is really speaking of the Messiah, but I don't have enough time to read it all to you. But read Isaiah 22 through the end, so you could get. But it says, "And I will clothe him," in verse 21. Isaiah 22, verse 20 says, "In that day I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your robe, and I will bind your sash on him, and will commit your authority." Remember I said to you about the name authority, to his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. And he shall do what? He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him like a peg in the secure place. And he will become a throne. Wait. He will become a throne of honor to his father's house. And they will hang on him the whole honor of his father's house. The offspring and issue every small vessel from the cups to all the flagons. In that, verse 25, in that day declares the Eternal of Hosts. The peg that was fastened in a secure place will give place, and I will cut it down and fall, and the load that was on it will be cut off, for the Eternal has spoken it. This prophecy has a lot to do with it, and it's connected with the meaning of what is spoken here in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7. The true one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open. And we know he was cut off. And because then when he was cut off, instead of by his death, and of course his resurrection too, blessings came. And verse 8 to end, he says, "I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name, my authority." So there are groups like us. I'm not trying to pat ourselves on, but I know I have very little strength. I think my brother initially started in his prayer, or someone said how we have little strength. We don't. We have very little strength. But he said, "I set an open door." We do have an open door. And if we are faithful, whether we are one who can do 10, 5, or 1, we will do something from Elohim. So that whether it's a cup or flagon, if I pronounce that word as we read in Isaiah, it will be a part of Elohim's kingdom and will not be removed forever. Okay? So whatever little we can do for Elohim, that will count, is what we have to do. Has to be done through faith and through love. So I stop here, dear brethren, with Revelations chapter 3, and I stopped at verse 8. And we will continue, the eternal permitting, next Sabbath with this teaching. And I'm hoping I'll be able to spend more time next Sabbath with the book of Revelations. So thank you. The eternal bless all of us. Amen.